My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome. I'm Ed Coleman. Here's the Mets Spring Training Podcast for today. And joining us, one of the most popular Mets, Dom Smith, will hop on board. And the man with the perpetual smile, Brandon Nimmo. We'll also talk about center field and some of the questions there. And lastly, but not leastly, you want to stick around for Matthew Allen. He's a right-handed pitcher who he's going to be on the fast track. He might not be with the Mets this year, but he's going to come fast, and he's a very interesting guy to listen to. But first, though, Dom Smith was asked, well, what was his takeaway from a breakout season last year? And he said, he missed the fans, the buzz, the excitement, people in the stands. Very Dom Smith-like answer, and partly why Met fans love him. So what is Dom? Is he a first baseman? Is he a left fielder? Is he a DH? Well, Dom has an easy answer for that one.
So I'm a ball player. I'm a versatile ball player that's going to help you win games. If I'm in the lineup, I don't care where I play. Like I said, I take pride in defense. Obviously, my left field play hasn't been great, but people, you know, forget that, you know, I got thrown in left field in the big leagues, which is the highest level of baseball, the hardest level. I didn't realize how hard guys hit the ball until I started playing outfield in the big league. So it's a learning curve. It's a learning process. And I feel like, you know, I'm taking that challenge and I'm getting better and better at it. And like I said, I mean, I'm getting comfortable out there and I know that I could do it. I know I could play left field, right field. I'm competitive, and I believe in my ability.
Smith spent a lot of time in the offseason working on his agility, trying to increase his athleticism, and he says he feels stronger and better prepared.
Of course. I mean, you have to. You have to work on, you know, just becoming a better athlete as a whole. And that's something that, you know, I really want to do. I really want to take back. I really want to show the world that I'm an athletic player. And like I said, from the time I made my debut in 2017 and 2018, and I lost all that weight, I mean, I said it to you guys, the best players in this game, they're some of the most athletic players in the game. And if you can become more athletic, it's just going to help out your overall game. So that's something that I take pride in and I work on. Even here, you know, I'm here early, I'm stretching, I'm moving around, I'm working on my agility, I'm working on my speed, I'm working on the way I can improve my route running. So it's always an ongoing process that never ends. And it's something that, like I said, for the rest of my career, I will continuously work on.
Dom had an outstanding year in 2020. He hit .316 with a .993 OPS, 10 home runs, 21 doubles as well, and 42 RBIs. He met up with Barry Bonds in the offseason, and there was a popular side-by-side comparison of their swings that came out of that.
It's funny because I really didn't notice the similarities until the side-by-side that night, or the next day, actually, when I saw it. The last couple of years, you know, I've been doing a little research and been hitting with guys. And I saw an interview with Christian Yelich, and he talked about how when Barry was with the Marlins, he put him through some pretty interesting drills. And, you know, one of the drills were, you know, chopping the ball off a home plate and, you know, really feeling yourself working down and through the baseball and creating that backspin. And just that drill and a couple other drills I've taken from him and worked on it throughout the year. And I mean, the side-by-side comparisons are pretty good. And it's just something I want to keep improving on my swing. I know it's not the best swing. I know I have, you know, holes, every hitter does, but it's just something that, you know, shows that I am working in the right direction. And just something I want to keep improving on, like I said. And I was shocked. I was very shocked at the similarities, but it's pretty cool to see him.
I asked Dom what his biggest takeaway from talking with Bonds was, either offensively or defensively, and his answer was a little surprising to me about the mercurial Bonds.
I think the biggest takeaway I could take is his personality, just how down to earth he was, how just humble he was, and the knowledge of the game. A mind like that should be in baseball somewhere at some capacity. That's somebody that I would love to talk to on an everyday basis, whether it be about approach, whether it be about swing. And he's just a great baseball mind. Defensively, offensively, we didn't talk much about, you know, swing. He said he saw my swing and he broke my swing down, told me to keep my hands higher and, you know, work down through the ball. Like I said, I'm getting this number, so we're going to definitely talk more throughout the season about my swing and approach. But, I mean, that mind was just phenomenal. It was more than I can ever ask for. And I was like in a dream. I was in all the whole conversation. And I mean, he's a great person. It was a great conversation. I wish we could have talked longer. I mean, he didn't want to stop talking. He was awesome.
Smith has overcome injuries, lack of chances at times to prove himself, skepticism about his talent as well, and sleep apnea on top of everything else. And this is why people love Dom Smith. Listen up.
It was tough. I mean, nothing's easy in this world, but I feel like the harder it gets, it just brings the character out of a person. And my parents were very hard on me growing up. And when things got tough, they just didn't let me give up. They didn't let me just give in. And I think that just that just never die attitude and just the fact that my parents kind of instilled that in me at a young age, I just couldn't give up, no matter how hard it was. Like I said, I knew my ability, my capabilities, and I wasn't playing up to par, and I was honest with myself. I look in the mirror, and I said, Dominic, you have to improve. And I really, really worked on improving every facet of my game, man. I don't really pay attention to the noise. I don't pay attention to players who are listed ahead of me, players who, you know, whatever the case may be. I just don't pay attention to anything negative, because if you start listening to that, then all your work, everything that you're putting into the game, you're not going to be able to put in everything into it because you're just so caught up on negative things. So I think just my parents, I obviously have a couple, you know, psychologists that I talk to, and them really shaping my mindset, my outlook on life. Really helped me. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what role you're on the big league roster, that's still the best job in the world. If you're coming off the bench, if you're coming out of the bullpen, if you haven't played in 2 weeks, it's still a million kids, a million adults who would kill to be in your position in your shoes. So you should never be upset. You should never pout. You should never be angry. You know, control what you can control, and that's what I do. And I let everything else take care of itself. And I just don't put wasted energy into stuff that I know I can't control.
All right, let's draw a walk and run to first base. Brandon Nimmo is next up. There was much talk this offseason about bringing George Springer aboard. Really, almost more about getting Nimmo out of center field to a corner spot. The metrics have not been kind to Nimmo as a center fielder. He's stronger coming in on balls than he is going back on them. So some adjustments have been made with his outfield setup, and that should help moving forward.
You know, I think early on in the season, I think honestly I was playing too shallow. And so that was keeping me from catching a lot of balls that I think, you know, the metrics would say are very catchable balls. And so, you know, that was something we tried to improve on at the end. And then, you know, there was definitely a couple balls that I just screwed up on, you know. And in 60 games, that's going to be highlighted. You know, you're not going to have the longevity to make that up. So, but I think in the beginning, I was playing a little bit too shallow. It's one thing we really pointed out about halfway through going into September. And so, you know, that's one thing that we're definitely going to work on, and we're working on now coming into this season. And then, you know, we're going to point out little things as well. There's always, you know, first step quickness and that kind of stuff that we can point out. You usually catch the ball in the first two or three steps. But that was a big thing that they highlighted last year when we broke it down and said, yeah, these balls got over you because of this depth that you were at. Like, you were 20, 30 feet shallower than most guys or whatever. So I really think that was a big one that hurt me. And then, like I said, I had a couple that I just screwed up on. And you know, you don't have the longevity to make that up.
Offensively, Nimmo has always been a pass the baton kind of guy. Keep the line moving, take a walk, let the next guy pick me up. Well, there are situations, though, that you really need to have that controlled aggression to seize the moment. And Nimmo is starting to adapt to that.
I think so. I think I've done better at that. I think that was, you know, attributed to the higher average last year. And so I think I've just gotten a little bit better at, you know, taking advantage of those mistakes. And so maybe before I foul those off with maybe some being a little tentative, been a little more aggressive and, you know, trying to do damage with the ball when they do make the mistakes. So that controlled aggression. And, you know, I think I've done a better job of that. I'm not going to say I have it figured out at all. You know, there's definitely guys that probably do it better than me. And I try and be a sponge around all these guys and take their approaches into consideration. But I do think I've done a better job of that, and I look to continue to be better.
Finally, Matthew Allen, a first-round talent taken in the third round by the Mets and a fast tracker to the big leagues. He's a Florida kid. He's just 19 years old, wise beyond his years, and he threw some BPs with Jacob deGrom at Stetson University in Florida, and he's been siphoning information off the two-time Cy Young Award winner, as you might expect, during spring training.
I think the best thing for me that I've noticed with DeGrom is it's a two-way conversation. You know, it's not me constantly going up to him, you know, saying hi and, you know, talking. He comes up to me a fair share, you know, that we've kind of seen each other and crossed paths and saying, like, hey, you know, watched your live the other day. Why did you throw this pitch and this pitch? You know, you should, you know, maybe think of this. But Ricky basically said, you know, wear him out with questions. You know, like, he's prepared. He knows you're going to talk his ear off. Like, just absolutely wear him out with any questions that you have. And so, you know, the chances that I've been around him and felt like it's been a good situation to ask, you know, without intruding on his work, you know, I've asked him an array of questions, and he's always been so good to, you know, give me an honest answer and then give me an explanation, not just say, like, this is what I do. You know, he's been really good about saying, like, this is what I do and this is why I do it.
Another Mets starter that has showered knowledge on Allen is the very outspoken Marcus Stroman.
Meeting Stroman, I think just the type of person he is and how much he cares for the young players and how much he's really out to just help you. You know, he's not looking for any publicity to say he's going to help you or anything like that. He's truly out there just to help you. So, you know, yesterday I was picking his brain on you know, a curveball grip, on, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And, you know, he walked me through his exact thinking for his pitches. And I think, you know, that was really eye-opening, you know, just to see the kind of person he is. And, you know, I'm excited to, you know, continue to talk to guys like, you know, Syndergaard and such. So
you don't often see a young pitcher with a blazing fastball and terrific curveball say that his changeup is his favorite pitch. But Allen is one of those rare exceptions.
Going to Brooklyn, it really excelled past my expectations. It got way better, way faster. I think that's just because, you know, they communicated in Brooklyn that the most important thing is obviously just work on your stuff. There's no real winner or loser. If you get hit around, who cares? Like, work on your pitches. And so that allowed me to go and throw changeups, you know, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 2-1 in these odd counts. And, you know, now I really, it's one of my favorite pitches to throw. I threw it in my live BP, and it was the best pitch that I was throwing. And so I think just constantly harping on working on my changeup, and, you know, constant body control and learning about myself. Those are some of the goals. And just, you know, I think big thing for me is stay healthy and help whichever team I'm on, help them win. You know, I'm a big competitor, and at the end of the day, I want to win. You know, I think for me being in Brooklyn 2 years ago, winning the championship, it's, you know, I want to do that again. Wherever I'm at, I want to be part of a championship team.
I asked manager Luis Rojas how rare it is to see a changeup that good for a 19-year-old with limited pro experience.
It's up there. It's a plus pitch. It runs, it fades. He's got a good feel for it. Just a good feel. You watch his side and his ability to repeat his delivery is just outstanding. The body control, the mentality he has. And, you know, you see he throws a fastball easy, and then next time he throws a changeup, same arm speed, and it's just like, you know, he does a lot. It's impressive. The maturity level is the one thing that stands out, and then when you see this stuff, that's when it's eye-popping for real.
So why has it become an outpitch and a favorite for Allen so quickly? Well, he tracks it back to his time with the Brooklyn Cyclones in 2019.
I think the first step with me was it's a confidence pitch. It's knowing that you're going to throw it and it's going to go and move how you want it. And, you know, knowing that you can throw it down the middle and have it play off your fastball. So I think the biggest thing for me originally was it's a confidence pitch. I need to be confident that I'm going to throw it. If you're not confident in any pitch you're going to throw, chances are it's not going to be a good pitch and there's going to be a lot of damage done. So first thing for me was building confidence in my changeup. Second thing for me was starting to understand the movement profile on it. Like, how do I naturally throw it and how can I manipulate the ball to play off my fastball, play off my curveball? Because if it's got way too much spin in one direction, then, you know, if it's not going to play off my other pitches, it doesn't matter how good it is. Mm-hmm. And so once I started to understand that, I started throwing with a softball, like a smaller, squishy softball. With elevated seams, and that really helped feel like this is what finger it's supposed to come off of. This is what it feels like to throw it properly, so that when I grab a baseball, it feels awesome, you know, because I'm going from a bigger ball to a smaller ball, and I really feel like I have control over it. And then past that, like I said, it's just continuing the confidence of throwing it 2-0, 0-0, 1-0, throwing in these odd counts that you know, in the big leagues, you're going to need a 2-0 changeup. Plenty of times DeGrom has thrown 2-0 changeup, back-to-back changeup, you know, three changeups in a row. And so I think for me, it was just in high school, you're focused on getting outs. And so I never really needed a changeup because I could throw a fastball, curveball, get guys out. But one thing Ricky harped on was, hey, you're going to need a changeup. You're going to need a third pitch. Throw it in these odd counts. Who cares what happens? You know, that's what this experience is for.
Allen is very poised. He's mature. He's, you know, not cocky, but he's extremely confident in his abilities. And a lot of that came from his time in Brooklyn as well and excelling in the competition there.
It was extremely valuable. I think, you know, getting my feet wet there, first outing, obviously jitters and being, you know, obviously being pretty timid, I'd say. But I think after my first outing, it was like, well, like, your stuff plays here. Like, you can get outs here. You know, like, this is above competition of low A or whatever. And I think for me, the biggest thing was just realizing, like, hey, like, believe in yourself. You belong here. You've put in the work to be here. You know, you can get outs here. I think that's probably the biggest thing for jumping to each level. You know, I kind of look at that as a level jump, going from GCL to short season to then to there, facing guys with multiple years of big league time, going up and down. You know, I think it was just after that first week, after that first outing, it was like, hey, like, believe in yourself. Like, your stuff plays here, and it plays really well. Not like it's kind of hit or miss. It's like no, you can have a subpar day stuff wise and still get plenty of outs. And so that's kind of the approach that I started taking, was just like, be confident in yourself that like, you belong to be here, and you sure as heck can get outs here.
Like I said, fast track. Remember the name, Matthew Allen. And remember to tune in tomorrow. Let's do that again. Close again here in 3, 2, 1. Like I said, fast track. Remember the name, Matthew Allen. And remember to tune in tomorrow when we're back with yet another Mets Spring Training broadcast. Have a great one. I'm Ed Coleman.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.